If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
But is it really?
I've got a problem.
Yeah, I got a problem with a toilet.
We have a big problem.
We have come up with grubs, and nothing seems to be helping.
I have a toilet that when I flush it and the water comes back up, it whistles.
Got a problem? Have a question? You're not the only one.
Is there anything you can do to help me?
There sure is. Call Lou Manfredini here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
Hey, that's me. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware. Oh, my gosh. I was part of, I got to see a very funny video that I can't tell you about that I shouldn't even bring it up because no one's ever going to see it unless you're Ace.
I know, that is just mean.
It's mean, but it was so funny.
I have access to your Facebook page, you know, so I can post it.
Right, you won't.
Well, I will, no, maybe, no. After I can. Can I ever?
I don't know, maybe. We'll see. But it is a fun little spoof, that's all I'm going to say. Yeah, hopefully in a few months we'll be able to post it. We'll see.
When is it
debuting? But I wonder if it's like a... I should stop talking about it. I'll just stop talking about it. Hi, Veronica. Good morning.
Good morning,
Lindsay.
That's
how are
mean.
You? I know it's mean, so I'm not going to say it. We'll just stop talking about it. That's
okay.
All. What a nice day today. Nice, clear morning. With the Mr. Fix-It Show, we have a lot coming up today. We're going to talk to someone about the First Look of Charity, actually John Alferovich, who you hear his names mentioned all the time with Ro Khan, which I'm going to mention to John. You know, I know that Ro Khan does... he does the Apple Chevrolet commercials and always talks about the Alferovich family, which I also happen to know. And, you know, the First Look at Charity, which is one of my fave events. If you ever get a chance to go. Have you ever been, Veronica?
No, I have not.
So it is the night before the... Lindsay, did we ever go?
I can't remember. I think we did.
Didn't we go with David?
Yeah.
With the black tie thing?
Mm-hmm.
We went, right?
Yeah.
The four of us?
That's right.
So it's a black tie event the night before... And they raise money for, I believe it's a dozen charities. So they invite the dealers, all of them, whether it's a Chevy dealer that are part of it, have these 12 or 15 charities. I'll have to look. But they have these private rooms. They have their own areas where it could be the American Cancer Society, Misericordia, which I'm involved with, my wife and I, my whole family, has a room every night. They sell tickets to it as a fundraiser, and I believe it's like 85% of the ticket price goes to the charity.
Hmm.
And then they have music, and they have food out on the, you know, in the area, and you see all these, you know, men in tuxedos and women dressed to the nines who, by about the first 30 minutes, are all holding their high heels in their hands and walking around barefoot. Because there's a lot of reasons why I'm glad I'm not a woman.
High heels are the worst.
High heels is one of them. I mean, there's a lot of other things, I think, being a woman. You know, if men had to give birth, there would be no people, right?
That is very true.
Right. There would just be, none of us would be
My
here.
Dad always used to say there would be three children.
Three?
Yes, because the woman would have the first, and the man would try to one-up her, so he would have the second, and then as revenge, she would have another one.
Right. That's good. That's good. That's very good. I got to remember that. So anyway, we're going to talk about the First Look of Charity. We have a Noodaloo, too. If you are a hot water heater, if you have hot water heat in your home, and you have baseboard heat, that's the metal baseboard that you can't stand. Great picture, by the way, that you posted on Facebook. That's
like
exactly
that?
What everybody hates. And in particular in your bathroom, it's all rusty and nasty. And it's, I don't know how to be delicate about this, but when you're sitting on the toilet, you're looking right at it. And you're going, oh my gosh, that looks awful. And you've painted it 1,000 times. We have a Noodaloo, too, that's a really good solution for making that look a whole heck of a lot better. And not only the minute you do it, but down the road as well. So kind of a neat idea. Stay tuned for that. That's coming up this morning at 7:45. But 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And let's start it all off with Bill, who's in the Northwest Burbs. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a question about some sagging floor joists. They're about 12 feet long, and there's like two or three of them where the knots have cracked up like, I'd say, about halfway. They're 2x8s. And I just wanted to try to put something next to them to reinforce them. And is, say, 3/4-inch plywood, the width of the boards is good enough? Because it's kind of hard to get a full piece, a dimensional piece of lumber up there, one piece.
Yeah. What's under it? Is it a basement?
Yeah, it's my basement. Yeah, it's all exposed.
Okay. And so, in other words, that floor is bouncy?
Well, it's just that they've sagged, and it's like 60 years old. The knots have cracked, and you can see it's opened spots where it's like an eighth of an inch, if not more. And it's just, you know, like opening up more and more over the years.
All right, and you said it's 12 feet long.
Yeah, they're about 12 feet on each side of the beam. Yeah.
All right, so here's the problem. If you created a web of some size, the thing is, with a sheet of plywood, you're only going to get 8 feet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Every time you have a joint,
it's going to weaken. Yeah.
It's not going to be the strongest point. And so no chance I can put a beam in there, like going perpendicular in the middle.
Oh, no, not really. No.
You don't want to.
No. You know, there's a couple other ones where I had access to when I was able to put another piece of 2x8.
Does it sag? Light. In other words, when you look at it, is it sagging right in the middle?
Yeah, kind of, because it's underneath where the bathtub is.
Okay.
So here's
what I would try. Where that sag is, I would put a temporary couple of 2x's or something underneath there and jack it up.
All right.
Okay, with some, you know what a telepost is?
Yes, yeah.
All right, so first I got to get the sag out of the dimensional lumber. And that isn't going to happen right away, Bill. In other words, you're not going to put this thing up there and go, krr, 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 and it's going to go. You're going to put a, you know, okay, let me ask you this. Perpendicular, if you were going to run a beam down the middle going, you know, perpendicular to the joist, how long would that beam be?
Well, 6-8 feet.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to get that 8-foot, a couple of 2x6s, okay?
All right.
And nail them together, screw them together, and then get a couple of teleposts, not all the way to the end, but maybe, you know, a foot in from each side, and crank that up, okay? And the best way to do this is get a straight line and attach it with a couple of nails so you can see, you can get that sag out of there, right?
Okay.
You follow me? Go up with the line?
All right. Just gradually over time, just raise it up a little bit.
Every couple of days, you're going to go down there and crank it, and then in the middle of the night, you're going to hear a pop every now and then. It's going to scare the living you know what out of you, and it's just as everything starts to move. Once that gets to the line and everything, the sag is out, then I want you to cut the two, or go ahead and pre-cut the plywood, like a piece of 1/2 inch or 5/8 plywood, 8 feet long, and center it right over where you put that beam.
Okay, I see what you mean.
I want you to glue it.
And screw it.
And screw it. Yeah. And then leave that beam and everything up there for at least 2-3 days.
Okay.
Before you take it down. And I want you to make sure that you you take that plywood and shove it right up to the bottom side of the subfloor. The subfloor.
Uh-huh.
And that should help. And then the other thing to do to take the sag out is, in that area before you take the beam out, install some bridging.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all so right. That's perpendicular blocking so that you bond everything together and it becomes one large floor plate, and that should take it away. In that short span, that should work.
All right.
Okay?
Hey, can I just ask one more thing?
Sure.
I had called Lindeman Chimney last summer, and they came out and gave me an estimate. But they never told me how much the job would cost, and I called them like twice, and they just never replied to me.
You got an estimate?
They came out. The guy looked at it. He says, "I'll give you you the estimate."
So they did. And so they looked at it, but they never got a price.
They never. Yeah, and I called them twice, and I go, "Oh, I don't, you know."
All right, hang on a second. We'll get your name and where you live, and we'll see if we can help follow up, make sure that they get you the price on that. Maybe it was just so expensive they didn't want to scare you. I don't know. They should have called you back. That's crazy. 7:24 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Wow, you just brought back a memory for me that I hadn't thought of in a long time. Your friend named Brandy. We had a dog named Brandy. He was an Irish setter. He fell down a ravine and died. Brandy. I mean, when have you ever heard about a dog falling down a ravine and dying? I have to tell you, Brandy was not the smartest Irish setter. So sad. Poor Brandy.
How is Brandy?
He is happy and love and married.
Right, married. Good for Brandy. Very nice. Poor Enzo. We had to give him Enzo the Wonder Dog. I know I talk about Enzo the Wonder Dog. We had to take him to the vet, and he had to be knocked out. He's alive, but he's got terrible problems with his hips. And he had this big growth on his chest, like a fatty. You know how dogs get that fatty thing on their body?
But they're usually harmless, right?
It was harmless, but it was getting the size of a grapefruit.
Oh.
So, you know, the thing's like jiggling around, and our son Quinn likes to pet it. And so we had it removed, and he's got really bad arthritis. And so he's got a bad back like me. It's like we're connected at the hip, literally, poor guy. So he's walking around the house with, they said put a T-shirt on him, you know, so he doesn't go at his stitches. Mm. But more importantly, so Flo doesn't. She's very interested. Well, she wants to lick the stitches.
Oh.
So he's walking around in an old T-shirt of mine. He looks ridiculous.
Idea, though.
I know. Well, the vet said that. Take a T-shirt and tie it in a knot, you know, because it's, you know, obviously he's a dog. So he stands up when he's, you know, goes outside and looks at me. He's like, I look ridiculous. That's the look on his face.
Oh, goes, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I don't have anything.
I don't want anyone to see me. But he's fine. We just have to keep an eye on
poor
him.
Poor puppy.
Yeah, poor guy.
We're talking tools and jive here on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
See, I used to listen to this song when it first came out. I have Veronica's nodding. She as well.
You had to secretly like the Bee Gees, though.
I love the Bee Gees.
But you couldn't tell people.
Really?
Yeah.
I did.
You did?
Oh, my God. The Saturday Night Fever
did they throw
soundtrack? That Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Do you remember? It got played constantly. I can remember as a kid playing. I had the strangest. Taste in music when I was a kid. I used to play the Beatles' White Album over and over and over again. I loved that album. Album, right? Mm-hmm. What was the turntable called? We had this turntable.
Was it that big stereo cabinet thing that every living room had?
We had a Scott. I remember it was a Scott amplifier.
Okay.
That then then the turntable was plugged into that. And I can picture it because I remember I used to change the needle. Remember you used to change the needle on your turntable? And I would play that White Album over and over and over again. And then I would play the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack over and over again.
When I was growing up, people were in that I hate the Bee Gees phase. I loved the Bee Gees.
I thought it was, you know.
They were evil to them like they are to Nickelback now.
Yeah. So I have Sirius radio, you know, in one of the cars. And so I flip back and forth, you know, because I'm doing research. It's good to know what else is out there.
Right.
You know. And they have the 70s on 7. So what happens is when I'm driving around and I hear a song, I just text Lindsay. I go, we got to do a rejoin with the song. I literally texted you yesterday because Jive Talking came on. I was like, this is a great song. And you don't, because a lot of that stuff you just don't hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You forget about it, and then all of a sudden it strikes a nerve. That's a good song. That's a good rejoin.
It's a good song.
Yeah. I hear a good song like that, and I will text my son and say, hey, I need you to put this on my phone.
Right.
I don't do electronics. I have him do it all. And his question to me is always, what is wrong with you?
Right, right.
Because it's some weird song that he can't stand.
Right. I know. I get that. I get that, too. It's good. It's good. And I like the new stuff, too. Although I don't know the song about the Katy Perry in the bag.
Oh, come on. You know that.
Okay, we'll keep
Maybe You're a Firework. I can't think of the name. You know the song.
That has
a
plastic bag in it?
Yeah, it's talk about being a plastic bag floating in the wind. I got to find
it
for you.
The title was, you know that song.
I know that song.
Yeah, he does.
I didn't know there was a plastic bag in it.
Yeah, there's a...
Like a plastic bag blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. I thought you were saying that the title of the song was
No. It's kind of the point of the song is that you feel like you're nothing, but you're a firework, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's a very inspirational song.
Isn't that like the American Beauty? Remember that movie with the plastic bag blowing in the wind? Don't you remember? No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Were the Bee Gees in that movie?
No, but Katy Perry was.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines. This is Alan in Elk Grove Village. Alan, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. Very good, thanks. So my question is, on the front door to the house, the doorknob is loose, and I wanted to know how to tighten it up, whether I do that from the inside of the house or the outside. It's about a 45-year-old. It's the original door from about 45 years old, and I do notice that there's a couple of little, like a rectangular button on the stem of the knob that maybe I need to press, and there's also a little, looks like a little steel clip shaped like a horseshoe somewhere by the collar that touches the door, the surface of the door itself. I just wanted to know how to loosen that and tighten it up.
Okay, so you don't see any screws, correct?
Correct.
Okay. There's that button, so in order to get to access the screws, the knob has to come off, and the escutcheon has to come off. So that little button that you're talking about on the knob itself,
yes,
there's either a button or there's a hole on the shaft of the knob that goes into the escutcheon. Is there a hole around that shaft at all?
No, it just looks like on the shaft that there's a button that probably if I took a screwdriver.
Yeah. Right. So you'll take a screwdriver or a small or even toothpick. A toothpick might break, but something small enough to go in there. You push it and that whole knob will just slide right out.
Oh, okay.
And then that little clip that's on the escutcheon, you flip that and then the escutcheon comes off. And then the screws and the base plate that is actually holding the mechanism of the door is all right there. Tighten that back up. And plop the cover back on and then slide the knob back on. It'll all clip in there, and it should tighten right back up.
Okay, sounds good. Are you going to be at the Old House, New House Home Show next weekend? And
I am not. No, I will not be there this time.
Okay.
Yeah, but thank you. It's always a good show to go to, and it's a great place to learn about remodeling your home. There's a lot of good vendors out there. It's a very well-run show, so if you have a chance to go out there, it's a good one for sure. Back to the phones. This is Dean in Lockport. Dean, you're on WGN.
Thanks, Lou. Here's my question. I've got a Carrier furnace. I had a whole house humidifier installed on it. Now it's going on 6 years, and I had them out twice before, the people that installed it. And at the top of the furnace, they only installed it 8 inches above that, and there's a radiator on the inside of the furnace.
Wait.
Okay.
Say that again?
It looks like a radiator.
It's a forced air Carrier furnace.
Correct.
And then you have air conditioning as well.
Right. And what's happening is, from what I've been told from another heating company, is the condensation, it's blocking some of it. And you have those four steel burners inside the furnace, and the one's getting rusted out from the condensation from being it improperly installed. And I was like, well, that kind of makes sense, but I wanted to talk to somebody else that isn't being paid trying to repair my furnace or whatever. You know what I mean?
Okay, so you have a forced air furnace. It is a it is an updraft furnace, right? It goes, the air blows up.
Correct.
You got the body of the furnace, and then you have and so you have the blower is at the bottom of the furnace. Then you've got the heat exchanger on top of that, and then you have the A coil on top of that.
Okay. Yes.
Right, and for the AC, so that the humidifier is next to the A coil. Is it cut into the ductwork next to the A coil?
Yes.
Well, that's a proper installation.
Well, they were telling me it should have been up at least 38 inches high, and it's only 8 inches above the top of the furnace itself.
Above the top of the A coil.
Okay,
so when you're looking at this furnace,
yeah,
you've got the gray color that says carrier, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then you have the sheet metal that's connected to it on top of that.
Right.
All right, it's the furnace, or excuse me, the humidifier is connected to that sheet metal that's above the furnace, correct?
Yeah, they cut a hole in there.
And from the distance of that gray metal to the bottom of the humidifier, what's that distance?
8 inches.
That could be a
lot. It should have been at least 30.
You don't have 30 inches. Nobody has 30 inches. You would have to have
on the ductwork itself.
Yeah, but how tall is that? How tall is your basement?
I'd have to measure the basement.
Right,
12 feet.
But right. Oh, it really is? It's that high?
Yeah.
Okay, but the ductwork that's above, you know, in other words, that sheet metal that's there that goes above the furnace itself, how long is that vertically going up before it takes a turn? 3 feet? 2 feet?
Oh, probably 4 feet.
Okay. If it's only 8 inches, that's a little tight. 30 inches is... That's not necessarily true, but you could be getting some dripping down there.
Well, that's what they were telling me, and they were saying that it's blocking it off. Now I got the company coming out
that installed it.
Yeah, for the third time, but now I'm out of warranty.
You might be out of warranty, but if this is an improper installation, these guys got to make it right.
Okay.
So what I would do is take a bunch of pictures. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I would deal with the person that put it in there. Make sure you deal with the owner or the manager of the company and say, look, I'm getting these opinions here about all this, and that this installation, now I got this heat exchanger that's rusting out because he said it's not tall enough. And if it's eight inches and you have the room to make it higher, then it should be higher. Not all installations allow you to be 38 inches up above the furnace. It's just a question of how the system is built.
I was kind of wondering about that because I talked to April Air a couple times, and they're telling me, well, you need to have it reinstalled.
Right. Right. And so I would have the people that installed it first, armed with the information you got from April Air, to make it right, and then make sure that if there's any damage, you have a case to go back to them and say, look, this is caused by a bad installation, and you guys got to make it right. I appreciate the phone call. Hey, we're talking about heating and cooling. This is a product in our Noodaloo 2 that has all to do with your hot water baseboard heat. That coming up right after these.
Our man on the spot at the Super Bowl, Jarrett Payton. You looking forward to the interviews?
Oh, yeah.
You looking forward to the sideline passes?
Oh, yeah.
You looking forward to all that swag?
Oh, yeah.
Jarrett Payton is our guy in San Francisco covering Super Bowl 50. Hear the latest all weekend on 720 WGN.
If you're in the South Suburbs, here's more great healthcare advice.
Come on, baby, drive south.
Riverside Healthcare, a national leader in a number of award-winning specialties, has been named one of the safest hospitals in Illinois, setting the standard for quality care.
Come on, baby, drive south.
A 100 top hospital and a Health Grades Distinguished Hospital for Clinical Excellence, Riverside also has a growing network of primary and specialty care providers throughout the region.
Come on, baby, drive. Come on, baby, drive south.
With campuses in Bourbon A, Cole City, Kankakee, and coming soon to Frankfort, Riverside also has over 30 locations in areas just south of the south suburbs. Learn more at riversidehealthcare.org.
Come on, baby, drive south with the one you love.
Riverside Healthcare, putting well within reach.
Come on, baby, drive south.
Hi, it's Steve Cochran. Chances are you or somebody you know has sleep apnea. The people and families that deal with sleep apnea know all about the loud snoring and the daytime fatigue, the crankiness. But many don't know that people with sleep apnea also have higher rates of heart disease, stroke, motor vehicle accidents. It's a serious condition. Most people are given a CPAP machine to treat the sleep apnea, but if you've tried a CPAP mask and can't get restful sleep, don't worry. You are not alone, and there's a breakthrough therapy right now that's different. It's called Inspire. Inspire works inside your body. With your natural breathing process, Inspire, you see, is a small device implanted under the skin that delivers mild stimulation to keep your airway open while you sleep, and it is FDA approved. And there are doctors right here in Chicago trained to treat your sleep apnea with Inspire therapy. The freedom to sleep like everybody else is just a click away. Try it. InspireSleep.com. That's where you'll learn more, review safety information, and find a doctor who can determine if Inspire is right for you. That's InspireSleep.com.
Hey, Barry, what's up?
Hey, my doorbell isn't working. Any thoughts?
Of course, it's no problem. First off, you're going to want to look for any loose wires. If you find any, just reconnect them and test it like this.
Gotcha.
If it still doesn't work, remove the doorbell and touch the two wires together and test it again.
Ah.
If it rings, you need a new button. But if it doesn't, then your problem is the transformer or the door chime inside the house. You'll need to replace one or the other. But I've got them for you, so don't worry. Like this one.
Ace has the lighting options you want and the answers you need. With a wide selection of light bulbs, including LED, Ace has what you need for every light socket in your home. Plus, the helpful expertise to ensure you get the right bulb for you. Stock up and save now on light bulbs at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
Oh, hi. Here's the best cold weather tip you'll ever hear. If it's February, it's time for the Chicago Auto Show. Acres of the 2016 cars and trucks with all the latest and greatest technology, and nobody does the Chicago Auto Show better than your local Chevy dealers. Chevy's all-star lineup will warm your heart in the cold Chicago winter. Need a new truck? Well, Chevy's all-steel Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With 11,400 pounds of towing capacity, your new truck can pull its weight in gold. Speaking of gold, you can get $7,500 in total cash savings on the Silverado during Chevy Truck Month. Your local Chevy dealer is taking the gloves off, and Chevy Chicago Auto Showdown is happening now. Plus, you can get two complimentary tickets to this year's Chicago Auto Show that runs from February 13th through the 21st. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Two tickets are waiting for you at your participating Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer. While supplies last, no purchase necessary. See why Chevy is the best-selling brand in Chicagoland 4 years running. 7:52 in the morning. Time now for our Noodaloo 2. If you have a if you have hot water baseboard heat, and you're looking right now at those metal fin tubes and they look nasty, then you want to listen to this.
This week's Noodaloo 2 is the 21st century's answer to those old beat-up baseboard heater covers.
Yahoo!
The old ones, well, they rust, especially in the bathroom. They fall apart, they're loud, and let's be serious, they can get pretty ugly. And they used to be your only option. Well, the better baseboard cover is now your other option. The cover is simple, snap-on, snap-off installation, giving you the ability to clean and paint the actual unit.
Whoa.
They won't rust or fall apart like the old metal baseboard covers because they don't expand and contract. They're easy to clean. Like I said, they snap right on and off. They're quiet, and there are no sharp metal edges that could hurt a child or pet, so they're safe. They stay put, and the company PlastX offers a bunch of different styles to choose from to fit whatever your decor may be. They've got white, ivory, maple, or cherry wood. Prices vary, To give you an idea, a 4-foot kit starts at about $75 and an 8-foot kit for $150. There is a great video up on their website at plastxusa.com. That's plastxusa.com. The better baseboard cover is available right there on their website and at Ace. I'll put all the information for the better baseboard cover up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page at WGNradio.com, also on Lou's Facebook page, and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
I can't remember how, thank you, Lindsay. I can't remember how we got connected with this company, but this is a big deal out east because there's so much hot water heat in the Northeast, and it sells like crazy there. A lot of the hardware stores carry it, and we're the Chicagoland market is really predominantly a forced air heating company or heating area. And but if you have metal fin tubes, I know there's a lot of apartment buildings and condominiums and townhomes and even just regular homes where you've painted it forever and it looks terrible, and you're like, I'm going to want to replace it with the metal again because it's just going to look the same. It comes in different finishes. And it's plastic, but they sent me some samples of it, and the wood grain doesn't look bad. And it's, you're not going to get the, if you have metal baseboard covers, you know that when it heats up, you get a lot of pinging and expansion, and it's noisy. This really essentially it gets eliminated because it doesn't expand and contract the same as the metal, and it's a neat idea. It can get costly. You know, if you're talking about a bathroom kit for about $75, well, that's not so bad. You're in the bathroom, like I said, when you're sitting on the toilet, you're looking at that bad cover. And it's amazing all the imperfections you can see in a bathroom when you're in there sitting there. You agree or disagree?
I've told you this before. That was how my grandma always could determine the cleanliness of somebody's home. She'd say, when you're sitting there on the john, you just look at the baseboards, and if it's dirty, then you know how clean a person
Smart
is.
Smart woman, right? right, because we're always so busy, and there you're taking your time. Anyway, I like this idea. It's good. It's up on our webpage. It's up on our Facebook page, Lou Manfredini. Like us on Facebook, Lou Manfredini. And you can vibe about it on the VibeScore app. Our last week thing, the cover that I was so excited about, nobody likes. It got a VibeScore of 45. I'm telling you, if you're cold, it's going to make a difference. Okay, maybe it doesn't look that great. And I really do think they should come up with one that looks like a fire.
Okay, I don't.
Why?
Because that is cheesy.
The whole thing is cheesy. Then just go with the cheese.
A fire. I mean, you might as well, like you said, get a picture of your dog needle pointed in there.
That would sell. I'm telling you, with the crazy animal people and a couple of their cats, you'd get
Flo, little Flo with like a little bow on her hair in her head.
I could see that. She wears a sweater. She looks cute in her sweater.
And Enzo in the t-shirt.
Yeah, and is my t-shirt looking ridiculous. Like, look at me. He looks at me like, what have you done to me? Why are you making me wear this? My lump hurts, or my lack of lump. So he's got 12 stitches. Poor guy. I'm telling you, go with the cheese. We did a House Smarts story that you can still see up on our HouseSmartsTV.com website on a rotating house. It was the coolest segment I've ever done. This man and the husband and wife built this house almost entirely themselves. Veronica, where did you grow up in California?
In the Santa Cruz area. A little town called Watsonville, a little farming community right outside of Santa Cruz on the ocean.
Oh, wow. Sounds pretty.
It's very pretty.
Is Santa Cruz north or south of L.A.?
It is north. It's just south of San Francisco.
Oh, wow. Oh, so it's Northern California.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
Our daughter Mallory wants to go to school out in California.
It's amazing.
Where is that in relation to Santa Clara?
Very, very close. Matter of fact, 40 minutes maybe.
Wow.
Something. UC Santa Cruz is pretty nice, too.
UC Santa Cruz.
But she'll come back wearing tie-dye, I guarantee you.
She already does.
Okay, then
UC
she's in.
How big is UC Santa Cruz?
I don't know what the population student count is. I don't know.
Yeah. Where is San Luis Obispo?
That's a little south of there.
Okay.
Very beautiful, though.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been there. That's really nice. There's a college there, too, isn't there?
Yes.
Oh, I should just have Mallory call you, and you can give her all the insight from being
the California queen.
Girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so in Southern California, in San Diego, we did the story on this rotating house. This husband and wife built this house that literally goes 360 degrees, counterclockwise and clockwise. Okay, it is up on this hill and this beautiful view of San Diego, the valley below, up on the hill, and they literally can have the house oriented so they see the sunrise over the mountains and then turn to see the sunset.
Wow.
Or no, wait. See the sunrise over the ocean and turn and see the sun setting from their bedroom, okay? But at night, which it's still beautiful, they took a picture. Are you listening to me, Lindsay? I'm getting there. They took a picture out the window and on the blinds that come down, because obviously you're up on this hill and everybody can see you, is the photograph of the valley on the blinds when the blinds are down.
Wow.
It's like a roll shape.
Wow.
And it's really nice. So the fireplace people could take a really nice mm-hmm. picture of a fireplace and put it on that
or
thing.
Or your dog.
Or your dog. Whatever
I'm
you
I'm posting
would like.
That segment up on your Facebook page
it's
now.
It's an awesome segment. This guy's amazing what they did, and this house is the coolest thing you've ever want to see. This has nothing to do with our Noodaloo 2 today, which is the better baseboard cover. And you can see it all at Facebook.com, Lou Manfredini, and you can also see it at WGNRadio.com. Quick break, and we'll get to news. Don't go away.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all
and now back to your host, who's all about those no baseboards. Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah, 8:09 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show in the Allstate Showcase Studio. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Permaseal Basement Systems and ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Gary in Forest Park. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, I turn on my bathroom walls, and when I come into the shower area, the tile came off, and then so did some of the concrete board that came off with it.
Okay.
Then underneath you have the drywall.
Okay. So you have
it's solid. So, but the pieces, they're like oblong and they're weird shaped. Can I put on another quarter inch of a cement board instead of trying to patch that whole area? I have to patch it.
Okay, but did you take off all the tile?
Yes, all the tile is gone.
So all the tile is gone, and you have drywall and then a concrete board that's screwed over the top of that drywall?
Right.
Okay.
It just fell off, and it fell off in, like, a weird shape.
In a weird
shape. But it's a good size area. It's probably 2 foot by 2 foot.
Okay, and it's a quarter.
And all that other stuff. It's just right in the center of the drywall itself, and it fell off. You know, like zigzag and that kind of thing.
Got it. Okay. So, but the rest of it, the rest of the surrounding area, still the concrete board is retained, right?
It's still solid.
And it's solid, and you're not getting any movement when you push on it or anything like that.
Oh.
Yeah. So what I would do is take a, if you can, you know, cut a, I mean, to make your life easier, take that weird shape that you're left with, and square it off, you know, cut it with a, get a the right kind of cutting wheel for the concrete and put it on the end of a, whether it's a circular saw or even a multi-tool, you know what those, one of those vibrating multi-tools?
Yeah, those things cost $100.
Well, how much
the
money?
The tool does.
Yeah, what kind of tools do you have?
You know.
Do you have a circular saw?
I've got a circular saw.
Okay, so then get a concrete cutting blade and put it on that. Make sure you wear some glasses and, you know, the whole thing. Square it off. Get a new sheet of concrete, you know, Dura-Rock or whatever you'd like to use.
Right.
Screw that on, and then, you know, you typically want to tape those joints together. You don't have to.
Right.
Thin set mortar your new tile on. I'm a little concerned, though, Gary, that the tile just came off of that concrete board. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, well, it's 60 years old. Maybe that's why.
60 years old. Okay, so it's not concrete board. It's a thin-set mortar.
Well, whatever.
Well, right.
It's still solid.
Okay, all right. So, yes, you could do that, or if it's just a quarter inch, what might, instead of using the concrete board, why don't you just take thin-set mortar and trowel over that so it's consistent with what you have?
Okay. Now, I have to treat the bottom of that drywall with a sealer, correct, first?
The bottom of the drywall. The bottom of the concrete coating you have now?
The drywall that's there now.
Right.
It has to be treated with a sealer before I put the...
Thin-set mortar over the top?
Thin-set, yeah.
No.
Really?
No. No. Put the thin-set mortar over the top of that. This isn't a steam shower or anything like that, right? Then you're going to retile
right.
it. You're going to retile
yeah.
it. Then you're going to regrout right. it, and you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't need to put any kind of sealer on there at all. And I'm just surprised that the tile came off of that. I worry about the adhesion on that existing concrete base that you have. I think, though, you're not going to want to do this. If it were me, I would take quarter-inch Dura-Rock or a dense shield and install it over the top of what you have and screw it to the framing so you have this nice, solid base to then install your tile. It's a little bit of monkeying around in the transitions because it's going to be a little bit thicker plane, like near the valves and maybe where it ends out by the wall on the outside of the shower, but it may make a better base for you putting the new tile on. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's talk to Mark in Chicago. Mark, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Good morning.
How can I help you, sir?
Let's see. I had Lineman chimney come out last weekend to just check the chimney. I moved into the house about 7 months ago. It was built about 10 years ago. And they had told me that I have a negative pressure issue. So when they had turned on, it's a gas starter fireplace. So when they had turned on the gas, all the gas was just blowing right back inside the house. And it wasn't until we opened a door in the house that then the fumes from the gas started going up the flue and out the fireplace. So
okay.
He said it's bad. And what Lindman does would usually make a maybe 6-inch in diameter a hole to allow, you know, fresh oxygen in the house. But he said mine appears so bad that that would not do the job. So he said to call an HVAC company. I called one. They had no idea what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling you for some advice.
Okay. So your home is 10 years old.
Yes.
And you have forced air heat.
Right.
How many cold air returns do you have in the home? Any idea?
Oh, no, I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's a larger home, so I have a number of them.
Okay. So the issue becomes that in where the fireplace is that a large room?
No, I'd say it's about a 15 by 12.
Okay. So what happens is, in particular in the wintertime, which is when you would use the fireplace, you're all sealed up, and
right.
The cold air returns is created. The negative pressure, you know, that's the word that's used, but essentially what's happening is it's a sealed system where it's sucking air in and blowing air out, and you may have cold air returns in that room or close by that with your...
Yeah, I do have one of them.
With your furnace running, it's drawing so much when it's on that that's where you get the flow of either gas or even a flame coming in, and it's not evacuating the right way. Now, adding an air makeup or an air, cutting in a hole and putting in a pipe into the firebox. Let me ask you this too: is it a masonry fireplace or is it a metal fireplace?
Masonry.
Okay, that will help to offset where the combustion air comes from, and I'm surprised that they said it's too great for that to help with, but. You need a good HVAC company out there to kind of test all this out to make sure that it's all operating properly, that the blower is not set too high. many times with forced air systems, depending on the kind of system that you have, whether you have a multi-speed blower or the setting of it, if you just turn down the speed of the blower, sometimes that can help as well. So where are you located? Where in Chicago are you?
I'm in Park Ridge.
Okay. All right.
On north east side of it.
Do you have a pencil?
Yes.
Or a pen?
Yes.
855-955-HVAC.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just if the owner shows up, try not to fall in love with him.
Oh, that's all right, guys.
It's American Weather Makers. That's funny. That's funny.
I have heard those commercials, and they're quite entertaining.
Okay, so call them. Tell them you're having a pressure issue within the system. They'll send out one of their good folks out there to take a look, and American Weather Makers does a nice job, and they should be able to help you out. Mark, I appreciate the phone call. 8:18 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Your problem is not in the sewer. It's in the drain of the vanity.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Man, if that's true, I'm going to give you a kiss.
Right on the lips, Mike.
Hey, you get more than just home improvement advice on this show. You're listening to Mr. Fix-It on 720 WGN. He wakes up
in the morning. Hey, that's me. 8:25 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That's the phone number that Dan called in Manteno. That's also our text line, by the way. So if you have a question you want to text us, do it there as well. Hey, Danny, good morning.
Good morning. Wonderful. Great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, sir. How can I help you?
I've got a 1,400-square-foot ranch with a 4-foot crawl space that we moved into recently.
Okay.
There's no insulation under the floor, or the ductwork, or the pipes or anything like that. Is it, a good idea to insulate? I wonder why they wouldn't have done it.
Because back then, how old's the house?
60 years old.
They didn't care about heating and cooling and being comfortable. We were tough back then, Dan. And if you're cold, put on a sweater, for crying out loud.
Oh, I got a couple of them on right now.
Yeah, it is a good idea. The thing is that what you want to do is insulate that that floor plate that you're standing on all the time. You can go a bunch of different ways when it comes to that crawl area. My buddies over at PermaSeal, they do this encapsulation system. If you ever wanted to encapsulate and kind of direct all the smell and the moisture that can accumulate down there, they essentially install a pool liner in the entire crawl, the walls, the floor, and everything, and they vent underneath it. And they can also do the insulation above to help it. Or if you don't want to go that route, you can. Who's going to do this work, Dan?
Oh, somebody. I would get an insulation contractor.
Yeah.
I guess, like to say them or somebody.
Right. So the thing with the insulation, if you're going to do this, are you planning to stay in this house for a while?
Yes. I would say 10 to 15 years.
To me, if you can, and it costs a little bit more. Doing a spray foam insulation underneath there is the best bang for your buck go ahead.
No, that was my next question, the type of insulation, whether spray foam would be good.
Now, you can do conventional fiberglass where they can throw it up in the joist space. They'll put the craft face on the warm side and everything, and that's certainly a fine way to go. But if you do that spray foam, it seals every nook and cranny, and it gives you an R value that the fiberglass can't, and it will really help to temper that floor. I don't want you going into it thinking that, oh, my gosh, my floor is, it's like it's hot, but it won't be as chilly. And in particular around the rim joists, you know, where the actual floor plate of the house sits on top of the foundation, that gets insulated as well, and it really does a terrific job in keeping the cold air that may be down in that crawl from coming up into your living space.
Wonderful. What about the pipes and ductwork and all that stuff?
That'll all get wrapped, and that will also help. You know, if you have a main trunk line down there with your furnace, that's going to help that furnace run more efficiently as well.
Because when the first furnace kicks out, it blows nothing but cold air.
Correct, because it's running through that cold crawl space. So if you insulate that, that's only going to help. So when the insulation contractor comes, you want to make sure you talk to them as well about that.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Do me a favor. Hang on a second. I'm going to send you a Mr. Fix-It Lose Crew T-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsup and created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet.
Thank you so much.
You got to hang on a second, Dan. Here's a Katy Perry song I know.
Looking for some help this morning on your home improvement project?
How handy of a guy are you, Tom?
Tom, are you
still there?
You've got a question, he's got a solution.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. Your how-to.
Your go-to handyman, it's Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Help me down, but I got up. Get ready, because I've had enough. I see it.
The 2016 First Look for Charity is happening at the Chicago Auto Show. The First Look for Charity is going to be held Friday, February 12th from 7 to 11 p.m. This is the 25th edition. It is recognized as one of Chicago's largest signature fundraisers. It annually raises more than $2 million for 18 local charities. The goal for 2016 is to raise $2.5 million, and they have raised, get this, $42 million for local charities since its inception in 1992. Some other things are going to happen the night of the First Look for Charity at the Chicago Auto Show is two attendees will have the chance to win a 2016 Lincoln MKX and a 2016 Jeep Renegade. They'll have musical entertainment throughout the show floor, including artist performances and musical entertainment by the Four C-Notes, Angie Fisher, and the Chicago Six. They'll have an expected 200,000 samples of food and beverages will be available throughout the event. Tickets can be purchased at the firstlookforcharity.org website. That's firstlookforcharity.org. And you can follow the conversation online at hashtag FLFC16. FLFC16. And joining me on the phone line right now is someone that's intimately involved in the First Look of Charity, also a Chevy dealer as well, John Alferovich, who is the owner of Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park. John, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Lou. Good morning and great show.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, before we get started, I know that you got, you know, we hear your Apple Chevrolet commercials all the time that, you know, Ro Khan talks about how nice your family is. And I've had the pleasure, of course, to meet you and your lovely wife. I like her better than I like you, but I think probably most people say that. And I just want to know, you know, I know that Ro's your guy, but has he ever put you on the radio? I don't think so.
We've been on the radio quite a few times.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding you. Thanks so much for getting up this morning. I want to talk about a bunch of different things, but tell us a little bit about this First Look at Charity. For people that have never been, I've had the pleasure for several years to be part of it. With my association with Misericordia, they've been one of the charities for many, many years, but there's so many charities that benefit from this.
Absolutely. We have 18 charities that benefit from this, and with the there's 400 dealers part of the CATA that collectively, you know, put this show together. And I'm close with Turning Point, Spinal Bifida, and Misericordia. And when you peel back the onion and get involved with these charities and, you know, and you really get into it, I'll tell you what, it's a great, great cause. This First Look for Charity night, I think every dollar spent for a ticket is well worth it. And you hit it right on the head. We raised over $42 million in the
Amazing.
Last 5 years. And,
Amazing.
Going strong.
And this is all of you dealers coming together. I mean, whether it's Chevrolet or Ford or Hyundai, whatever, all you folks come together and fund this event and have been since 1992.
That's correct. And I'll tell you what, and this show is going to be better than ever. It's sort of, we call it the show floor shuffle. If you went to the show last year, you're going to get a whole different look this year. In fact, even there's a new globe, when the iconic globe that you see, we even refreshed that. And everything about First Look for Charity, I tell you what, there's a great group of people that come out. The restaurants step up. There's over 200,000 samples of food, beverages, and yeah, just a great time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I've noticed in the past several years is that you you guys invite restaurants that perhaps people know or don't know, where their involvement, it's not just a catering company, it's individual restaurants kind of plying their trades to let people taste a little bit of something that they're doing every day at their restaurants.
Yeah, and these restaurants want to put on their best face. They're showcasing what they do in here in the city of Chicago, as well as they know it's a charity event, and they really step up. It's a great event.
That's great. No, I think it's wonderful. And I've told people in the past, again, I've had the opportunity and the privilege of attending. It's really the best way to go see the auto show. You're giving back to charity. It's not, while there are a ton of people, it's not as crowded as it might be once the general admission opens, say on a weekend. So you can move around, and there's a little bit more access to the vehicles during the first look at charity too. Isn't that true?
Yes. Well, you know, there's a misconception too. During the show, you can look at and get in cars. It's very user friendly this year with the and they try to make it that way. But yeah, there is a little more access to the special cars and maybe the concept cars that you can get into.
Yeah, that's really neat. All right, now I'm going to switch gears a little bit. As a lot of people know, I am privileged enough to work with the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers as a spokesperson. Thank you so much for allowing me to do that for the years that I've been involved. You guys, as the Chevy dealers, have a whole Chicago Blackhawks family fun zone that's going to be set up in your area. Talk a little bit about that. That's not only going to be open during the first look at charity, but throughout the entire show.
Lou, I like to call that the hit of the show. I'll be spending most of my time down in the fun zone. And yes, and this year we got a great lineup too. We have our ambassadors and Blackhawk legends from Bobby Hall, Dennis Savard, Tony Esposito, Eddie Olczyk, and actually some Stanley Cup champions that will be there, Jamal and Daniel Carcello.
Wow.
All sharing in with autographs, shaking hands, and telling some stories, and it's a lot of fun. And last but not least, we have our very own Dan Hampton. He'll be there Friday from 4 to 6 doing the same.
That's awesome. And then you folks at Chevy have in the past a number of years created this Blackhawks custom Camaro. That do you auction that off, or is it raffle tickets? What's the story with that car?
I tell you what, off the charts. This car's a beast. It's a Blackhawks edition. It's the 7th edition. And yes, if you can go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and register. It's a very simple process, and you can win this car. And I advise people to go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to also look at the pictures. I thought we were going to go backwards by not having a convertible, and this year it's a regular hardtop Camaro coupe, and it is gorgeous.
I saw some pictures. Actually, Lindsay saw it as well, and she says, "Oh my gosh, I would look so good in that car." So I have a feeling if you see the name Smithwick on the registration, I don't know if you're eligible, but go ahead and register. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I don't know. But hey, if they win, they can always say, "Oh, sorry, you can't win," but at least you could go sit in it.
Gentleman that won it last year, he was in waiting during the parade last year for the Stanley Cup parade. He was on the curb, and someone hinted to him about the Camaro. And then he went online and just with his cell phone or smartphone registered, and he ended up winning the car.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. John Alferovich is the owner of Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park and a CATA board member, talking about the Chicagoland Auto Show and the first look for charity. John, thanks so much for getting up. Continued success, and I hope the whole event and the whole auto show is a huge success for you and all the auto dealers throughout the Chicagoland area.
Lou, thanks for what you do for Chevy in Chicago. We'll see you down at First Look.
You got it. Take care. That's great. That's awesome. I love the auto show. I'm telling you what, my wife would kill me, but one of my things that I would always want to do is I would love to be a car dealer. The problem is I would just want to drive all the cars all the time. I want to be like Jay Leno. I need to, if I had won that Powerball, that's what I would do is buy a big garage and buy a bunch of cars and do that. I'd be like Jay Leno. Right? You want to win that Camaro, don't you? You like that Camaro.
I'm seriously going to go online and register
right now. It is really sharp. You know what's funny? There's a whole trend now when you look at that. It's kind of a dark gray. And it
it's matte.
Yeah.
Yeah. David loves it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I never thought I would like that look, and I see it on certain cars. Mm-hmm. And in particular, there's a thing where the blacked out wheels, they have the blacked out wheels that kind of match the car. And I was never a fan of that, but your taste changed.
The rims, you mean?
The like rims, yeah. It's like I never liked radishes. But now I do.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, just saying, you know, your tastes change.
Yes. I love you.
8:46 in the morning. We'll be back right after these.
Time to get to work this weekend. Got a question for Lou? Give us a call right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know what else that company makes that they're not talking about? They make a fogger that you can put in your attic. So if you have mold in your attic and you're like, oh my gosh, there's all this mold on the underside of my roof, it's a spray can that you shake up and you click it, and it fogs the whole attic, and it grabs the mold and kills it. Pretty cool. Healthful home. 8:52 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Len?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Are you still awake? You've been on hold for a long time. Will you do me a favor? When I'm done speaking with you, will you please hang on so that I can send you a pair of tickets to the Old House, New House Home Show? February 12th through the 14th at Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Thank you so much. And you know what? I'm his wife, so he's doing the Fix-It project. So hold on. Here he is, Lou. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome. Tell him not to hang up on me.
What?
Hello there.
How you doing, Lou?
You must be Len.
Yes, sir. I met you in Roselle when you came out here today at Ace Hardware about the bathtub. I don't remember.
You were the guy. Yeah, you were the guy that I said never come up to me again, right?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
How can I help you?
Okay, so we're in here. We're tearing out the surround, okay? And whoever did the bathtub and the surround, they piecemealed it together. There's mold on my wood. Insulation has mold on it. And it looks like behind the insulation is some kind of Ben's glass or some kind of felt. It's not felt paper. And it's like a Den's glass, and that has mold on it.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, is there a product to clean the mold off the wood? The wood is not spongy. It just has the black on it.
Yeah.
Same thing with that Den's glass.
Okay. So I was just talking about this product called Healthful Home. Okay?
Healthful Home.
Healthful.
Helpful.
Yeah, I know. See, that bothers me that's what it's called because I think everybody thinks I say helpful, but it's like healthy, healthful. So that's what it's called. So Healthful Home makes, this mold test kit, but they also make a mold cleaner, and it also has a residual value to it. Now, you can find it at select Ace Hardware stores, but they also have a website. I just threw away the piece of paper. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
So I can give you the website. HomeMoldTest.com. Now, that'll have all of their other products, and you can probably find a dealer near you that carries it. But they have a cleaner that's very good. And I mentioned they have a fogger that you can put in the attic. You can actually take this fogger and spray with this fogger right on that stuff that you have, and it kills it. I mean, it just grabs it and says goodbye. Even on porous materials like wood.
Okay.
But you got to attack that and kill it all before you do anything as far as repair.
Okay. The other question is, after I get rid of all the mold and replace the insulation, put a plastic barrier, would that be okay, Lou?
No. No. So wait, what do you do? You're putting this all back in them. What are you doing?
I'm going to put another surround in, a new bathtub with the surround.
Oh, okay. So like a fiberglass surround.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if you put a vapor barrier on that side, just put craft-faced insulation.
Craft-faced insulation.
That's your paper, and that's your vapor barrier.
And that's okay.
Then put your green board or whatever you're going to put on there, then put your surround on, and you're good to go.
Okay. Excellent, Lou. Thank you so much.
All right, hang on a second. You're going to get two tickets out to the Old House, New House Home Show, February 12th through the 14th at the Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles. 8:55 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Fascinating rhythm, you got me on the go. Fascinating rhythm, I'm all a quiver. What a mess you're making, the neighbors want to know why I'm always shaking, just like a flipper.
Remember, are you a musical goer?
Only when I have to.
Oh, all right. Well, then you'll have to put up with what I'm about to say. By the way, it's 9:13 in the morning. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and the Lindemann Chimney Company. Our youngest son, Max Massimino, is in a production, a local production of a community theater that's in our neighborhood called the Edge of the Wood Theater School. And they are in the midst of their production of Nice Work If You Can Get It. And it's Gershwin. So this is one of the songs. Remember this song at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, it's a fabulous production. It's kids from 18 down to 10, maybe. These kids are so talented.
That's the whole thing. I love musicals as long as they're talented or as long as they don't go too long.
No, it's...
But, you know, when you're a parent, you've probably had to be at too many of them that were just painfully.
Well, yeah, it's like going to a swim meet.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so good. They do such a nice job. This group has been around for, I think, well over 20 years, and all these kids have gone through it, and it's so much fun. And what was interesting about this, I didn't really know anything about this Gershwin play, so that's one of the big songs, you know, Fascinating Rhythm. Also, the United Airlines theme song is from this musical.
Really?
But it's only a transition piece. It's not even a song. You know what I mean? It's like a little transition from scene to scene, as well as you remember the song, You Say Tomato and I Say Tomato?
Tomato. Mm-hmm.
That's from it. Hmm. And then the other song, remember the song, Someone to Watch Over Me?
I know that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really good. It's actually in the part of the northwest side of the city, Wildwood area, but it's at Edgebrook Community Church in the basement. I love the whole fact that it's in the basement. These ladies that run this group, they do everything. They direct all these kids. They do all the costumes. They do the set changes. And all these kids are super talented, and it's just so much fun to go to. So if you're looking for some good community theater, check it out. A lot of fun. Fascinating. Really.
Keyword was good, yes.
It is good.
I say neither, it is good. And I say neither. Follow along. Either.
Remember this?
Neither,
yeah,
neither.
I do. I love this
right.
song.
It's great. These kids do it so well.
You like potato and I like
potato?
There you go. You got it. 9:16 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. We have a couple of salespeople from WGN sitting in today that are new. Ashley's new. Ashley, the first thing you can sell is the Just Text Me segment. And just pay attention when we get to it, and you'll see what I mean. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk to Gloria in Aurora. Gloria, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. The sun is out.
I know, and it's like 40 degrees.
Oh, it's wonderful. Okay, I have a question. I have Corian countertops. They're 11 years old. Okay, I had two mishaps. One I kind of fixed. I was cleaning a portable dehumidifier. Humidifier. And the calcium came out on the counter because I made a mess. And I got 90% of it up with hot water and vinegar. Not hot, warm water and vinegar. Okay, that's not so bad. The cleaning people came in, and they were using Bona hardwood floor polish, which is fine. But they set it on the counter, and the container leaked. So I have a 4-inch diameter of this, it looks like a glaze, like somebody glazed it over, and a 3-inch diameter, and then little drips all over. I can't get them out. Even if I take my fingernail, it's like a plastic, like it plasticizes it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to get rid of it.
How long ago did you put these Corian countertops in?
11 years.
And the best decision you ever made is coming to roost right now. Because that can all be sanded right off.
It can?
Yep. What is it? Does this thing have a finish to it? Or what?
Yeah,
tell me what, not a finish, but tell me, what does it look like?
It's like a brown and
speckled?
Yes.
Like a flex?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a go to the hardware store and buy a white Scotch-Brite pad.
Okay, I know what that is.
And I want you to take a little water and put it over the area where this is at, and I want you to just start rubbing.
Okay.
With a little elbow grease.
Okay.
It's all going to go away.
Really?
Yep. Remember, that little fleck that you see, that color, that depth, is all the way through.
Okay.
If I drilled a hole and I sliced it like a cake and I showed you a piece of it, everything you see there is in the middle of it as well. And so the beauty part of the Corian material is that you can refinish it. Now, what I don't want you to do is sit there and dig in right there where it's happening. You got to kind of spread it out a little bit because you may notice that you bring a little shine back to that area and you don't do the whole thing. Depending on how much you want to do.
Okay.
If you took that white Scotch-Brite pad and you took do you know what an electric palm sander is?
Yes, I do.
If you put that right on top of that white thing and plugged it in and then just vibrated away and did the entire countertops, your countertops would look brand new.
No, I don't want to do that. Okay. So, can I sorry. Can I just do the white Scotch pad in warm water?
Yep. You can use cold water if you want. I don't care what the temperature is.
And that should come off?
Yep.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate it, and I enjoy your show.
Do me a favor. Hang on a second. I'm going to send you out a pair of tickets to the Old House, New House, Home Show, February 12th through the 14th at Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles. You can discover 300 exciting exhibits at Chicagoland's premier home show for remodeling, renovation, building, and repair. Get information online at kennedyproductions.com.
Everybody get up.
Wake up. Time to tune in to that lovable Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:23 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show with me, Lou Manfredini, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Gosh, it almost looks like a spring day outside. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Man, Joanne's been on the phone in Deer Park since yesterday. Joanne.
How are you?
Oh, thank you for hanging on.
Not a problem. I've enjoyed listening. Quick question for you. We've got a lot of air coming down from the vent. We've got the microwave over the stove, and the vent that goes out to the roof is open. We can't figure out how to close it. We've got cold air coming through.
What do you mean the vent's open? The vent's open where?
Well, cold air. You know how you've got the exhaust vent on the microwave?
Yeah.
That pulls it out?
Yeah.
Well, in the wintertime, cold air comes through. The cabinet above it is ice cold. It's like a little ice box.
Yeah.
And my husband's gone up on the roof, tried to check the thing, you know, the little exhaust thing, and it looks fine. We need to get somebody to come out and look at it because it's beyond him as what to do.
Okay.
So I need to know.
So let me ask you this. In your microwave above the, God, I keep saying so. I start every response with so. But that's my thing to start thinking. When you open up the cabinet and you look at the vent going up, does it have a little transition piece and then it goes to a round pipe? Are you home?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. It's like a round pipe and then it angles out.
Okay.
On the top.
Lindsay, can you look up, remember Tamarack Industries, T-A-M-E-R, Tamarack or whatever?
Yes.
Can you find that website?
Look up the website, sure.
Remember the thing that they make with the... So these guys are a exhaust fan company. Like, they make whole house fans.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which, quite frankly, we should all be putting back into our homes. I don't know why we're not. It's not... It's big out in California and more tempered climates, but even here... On a hot day when you don't want to turn the air on, you just want to cool the house, we should all be doing this.
Aren't they loud, though?
No, they used to be, but now they're not. It used to be like a 747, but it's not anymore. But anyway, that's not why I'm telling you this. They make a vent pipe, a little short vent pipe that I can't remember what it's called.
Okay.
But imagine a 6-inch round metal pipe that's maybe 8 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
On the end of it, is a, gosh, I don't know how else to describe this.
Flap?
Well, it's like a rubber flap. And what happens is when it's off, the flap collapses and falls on top of itself and seals so the air doesn't come in.
Okay.
And then when the fan turns on and blows, it It's like a... Oh, how would
is
I
it called a Cape backdraft damper?
Yes. That's what by Tamarack?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you took a...
like
know
a parachute.
The, it's like those... a... Well, you know, no. You know when you go to the car dealers and they got the guy outside with the fan and he's going, whoa, like this? Uh-huh. That guy, that crazy guy?
Okay.
That's what it is. It's that crazy guy in your vent. But then when you turn the fan off, the guy falls down.
Okay.
And when the guy falls down, the air can't come up again. Your husband, who's beyond wit's end, when he sees this, he's going to go, oh, my gosh, that's what I want to do. Right, Lindsay? They have it in different sizes. Don't they sell it on their website?
They're called backdraft dampers, and you can find them at tamtech.com.
I'm sorry, spell that? Camtech?
Tam, T Tam like tech? Tom,
mm-hmm.
T-A-M like Mary, A, wait, T-A-M-T-E-C-H.com.
And it's called a backdraft, you said?
Backdraft damper.
Great. Thank you so much. You solved my cold problem.
Hold on a second. I have all these. I have all these tickets to the Old House New House Home Show. Hang on a second. We'll send that out to you. It's. I just lost my piece of paper, but it's out at the. It's out at the Pheasant Run, and it's a great home show. And you'll go learn about it at KennedyProductions.com. 9:28 in the morning. Don't go away.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Ashley, are you listening? It's time for our Just Segme. Segme.
Segme. Are you listening, Ashley?
Are you listening, Ashley? This is how a professional broadcaster speaks. It's time for our Just Text Me segment. Sponsored by Verizon Wireless. Remember, never text and drive. Are you listening, Ashley? Time for our Just Text Me segment, sponsored by Allstate. Remember, don't text and drive. Time for our Just Text Me segment, where you text us in your question. We love getting text messages from you, but remember, never text and drive, from State Farm. See the whole connection, reaching the kids and the adults who are sitting at the stoplight when they stop and they're still texting, and then the light turns green and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, and then you honk the horn and you know that they're texting, right?
Not me. Well, don't give me that look.
I hope it's true.
I'm
not saying anything.
Don't. I don't.
Okay.
Steve Bertrand was just in here and
he texts and drives.
The girls are behind me and they all went, Steve! Oh, Steve's here! We love Steve!
I know. He's dreamy. okay, so our Just Text Me segment is where you text us some questions. But we were talking about the menu. My wife texted me, said, oh, our menu's been set forever. If I waited for you, we would starve. But we got some suggestions of what the menu
the biggest
could be.
One, their biggest one was the Denver omelet.
Oh, right! Of course!
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I want on a Super Bowl party. Omelets. Come on. I mean, it's a great idea.
Well, I mean, it's Denver omelets, the Denver brownies. I think those are, I mean, just little things here and there to kind of, represent.
Neither but, one go with beer.
No.
And Super
what are you
Bowl
talking about? What kind of brunches do you go to, Veronica?
Eggs and beer. I don't know. It just doesn't sound right.
Well,
kegs and eggs. Has anybody ever done that?
So our son, who's at Michigan, that's a big thing they do on game day. Kegs and eggs. Now, I never heard that because I'm too old. I also never heard that we never used the term. Are you young enough to use the term pre-gaming?
We've talked about this. Yes.
Did you ever have that, Veronica? Did you ever?
No, I was kind of a boring young person.
Right.
Well,
that term didn't exist when I was in college.
I don't think I pre-gamed.
Yeah. I mean, we did pre-game, but we didn't call it that. It didn't have a name.
Did lots of pre-gaming.
Right. And then the big thing is Quinn will say, oh, yeah, we're hosting a keg and egg party. I made all these eggs and kegs. And
and then we have after bars. I mean, it's a big.
Yeah, no. Okay, Denver omelet, that's a good idea.
And then Trader Joe's has a great mustard-based Carolina Gold barbecue sauce.
Okay.
That's,
all right, so you could put that on something, right?
And, then the brownies, more brownies.
More brownies. I do like the brownie idea. All right, how about real questions that we can help people
On
our non-sponsored segment that Ashley's going to sell.
Soon to be sponsored.
Yeah, by Ashley.
The real
Ashley, you could do Ashley Furniture. We could do Ashley Furniture. Isn't that a company? Ashley Furniture? Ashley something?
Hi, this is Ashley from Ashley Furniture.
Right.
With Ashley Furniture.
Right. No, we want you to do the voiceover, not Ashley.
Oh, yeah.
She's selling it.
Okay.
You're speaking.
Good
it.
One.
Yeah.
Open
Come on.
Mouth.
Protect the brand.
3-1-2. Lou, help. We just had our hardwood floors done. I heard you recommend the felt pads that have the nail that go into the leg of the chair, but my husband says that once they wear off, the nail scratches the floor.
Well, no, because the way... So, you definitely want to put a felt pad on any kind of furniture. There it is. Started with so again.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely want to put the felt pad underneath any piece of furniture or anything that's on the floor. The problem becomes there's so much weight, and I don't mean that you're fat. You're just bloated. Is that when you're on the chair, you know, it's like a woman in high heels. The amount of pressure that's on the heel is way more than you weigh. And so that... constant pressure, it loosens the glue. I don't care what the glue is. The sticker doesn't hold up. So these, the manufacturer that makes them is Shepherd, but they private label it for a lot of people. It's plastic. The nail is embedded in the plastic, and the felt is on the plastic. So when it wears down to the plastic first. And so the plastic, while a little more forgiving, will... not scratch the floor unless you go months and months and months. So it won't penetrate through.
I love the husband-wife battles.
Right.
See, I'm like totally all for this woman going, yes, she 1 point for her.
Well, I'm not stupid. Of course I'm always going to side with the woman, even if the guy's right. What do you think? I was born. Listen, I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
414, what is the best way to get rid of a moldy smell in a house where clothes have picked up the smell?
Ugh. Well, where's the other mold coming from? We need to wash all that clothing and wash it really well. Put the Fresh Wave laundry additive in the laundry to get rid of that moldy smell and absorb all that odor. But we got to make sure that the mold is attacked. We don't want to just add that clean stuff back to a smelly house. So we talked about the mold test from Healthful Home. The 5-minute mold test that you can buy at participating Ace stores. Try that, test the area, and make sure that it's mold-free. You'll know in 5 minutes.
And 630, does the chimney of a gas fireplace need to be cleaned like that of a wood-burning fireplace?
It does. You know, one thing I do want to ask the Lindemann folks, they recommend every 36 fires, and I think that is a very good recommendation, in particular for wood-burning fireplaces. But with gas, even though there is some soot that comes out, it's not as prevalent as it is with hardwood. My recommendation probably is, you know, you probably burn a heck of a lot more fires with gas because you run it more.
Right. I'm thinking we would need a cleaning like every 2 months.
Right. I think you're probably going to go, if you're going to count it, I think with a gas fireplace, it's every 2 years. That's my recommendation. But okay. It should still be inspected and it should still be cleaned. And the inspections are not expensive. And they come with a camera, which is the greatest thing ever. We had them come out into ours and they have this little head that they put on this flexible kind of, it's not a fiberglass stick, but they keep clicking these sticks and it's got a brush on like a chimney cleaning brush on the top to keep it pulled away from the chimney as they shove it up from downstairs. And they have an iPad sitting right on the hearth, and you can see the whole thing going up live with these LED lights. It's the coolest thing you ever want to see. When are you ever going to look inside your chimney? And you're standing there looking at the thing going up. So I definitely would have it done. And yes, it should be inspected and cleaned on a regular basis. I would say every 2 years.
And two more emails that aren't asked, Lou. Another suggestion was Rocky Mountain oysters for the Super Bowl game.
Okay, that's good.
And an ophthalmologist texted us and said that you absolutely cannot wear contact lenses when you swim. But I do.
You do?
But I don't open my eyes underwater.
Well, what do you do? Swim with your eyes closed? Don't you hit the side of the
pool? Well, I mean, I don't. I just jump in the. I mean, I'm not like living underwater. Why would I need to open my eyes?
Well, okay, but are you swimming or are you frolicking?
Frolicking.
Oh, well, that's different. I mean, if I want to go swim, like do some laps, you got to
open your eyes underwater. Like if you're in the lake swimming, do you open your eyes?
No.
Oh.
But I don't. But if I was swimming in a pool, I would wear goggles. So what happens then? Ophthalmologist, can you do that?
I don't know. Have him text us back, please. Yeah. Okay, that's just
but
text
the thing
me.
Is, if you can't see, then, well, for me, I can see. I can't read. I can't, but I can see. But if you're someone that can't see, if you took your contacts out, wouldn't you bang up and, oh, sorry, I didn't see you? You'd be like a mole, you know, where they can't see when they're out
like
of the ground?
Yeah.
All right, that's our Just Text Me segment that Ashley's going to get sponsored. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these. 9:49 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Rosalie in Huntley. Hi, Rosalie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Rosalie, I'm sorry. Rosalie.
Right. Yes, that's right. I have a problem with my siding on the building.
Okay.
And it's rippling away. And supposedly it was supposed to be 100% guaranteed. Well, the people that made the siding said it's not. And they say that it's coming from the sun hits the building next to me, the windows, and it backfires onto my siding.
Oh.
And
it's heating it up.
But now it's doing it again.
When did you have it done?
I had it done a few months ago.
Wow, and within a few months, it's already happening.
Right.
Okay, now when you had this repaired, and you obviously had someone do this work, you told mm-hmm. them what was going on.
Right.
And what did they say? Oh, we'll put the new siding on, Rosalie, and everything will be fine.
Right.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. Where this rippling is occurring, is it a first floor or a second floor?
First floor.
All right. And is this a house, a condo, or a townhome?
It's a house.
All right. And how close is the neighbor to you?
I'd say, I don't know, about
10 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet, 3 feet?
Maybe 20.
Okay.
We're not that far apart.
All right. Now, where this is occurring, is it in just one spot?
Yes.
All right. Let's, before we get it fixed, would you ever consider planting a small tree or a arborvitae, a tall arborvitae, right in that spot right in front of it?
In front of where it's happening?
Well, not, yeah, like in the side yard, so that as that sun, because now we know where this is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I could put a little plant, like a bush or a tree that's taller, since it's first floor, every time you replace that siding, the same thing's going to happen, because when the sun hits that glass, it's like a magnifying glass banging on your siding, and no one's going to warranty it.
And that's true? That's a true thing
yes.
that the manufacturer said, that the sun would damage this?
Correct. In that respect, it's not the regular sun like out there. It can take that, but the fact that it's coming from a artificial setting, which is your neighbor's house, I've heard this before. This
yeah.
This happens. But if you were to put an arborvitae, you know what an arborvitae is, like an evergreen, a larger mm-hmm. one, it gets a little bit bigger, or even a small tree that would be... or a pine tree. You want something that isn't going to shed its leaves that
right.
could grow, and you could even keep it trimmed to block this one area, since it's only this one area that's occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in the ground first and then fix the siding, and it shouldn't be a problem anymore. Thanks, Rosalie. It's 9:52 in the morning.
Happy trails to you until
8:55 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Lindsay, Veronica, Bob Ferguson. Our last call, sponsored by Townstone Financial, is Mary in Jefferson Park. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
How can I help you?
My sister has a gas heater that's connected with a chimney, and this just broke. Now it just connects with the gas. Without a chimney, and where can she get one, and you know, someone that could install it?
Okay, wait a minute. She has, say this again, because it was hard to hear what you said. Say that again.
Her gas heater that she has now just went out.
her furnace.
Well, it's just a heater for the four-room apartment. It's not really a furnace. It's a gas heater. It's kind of like, I don't know if you call it a space heater.
Oh, it's like, it's connected to the wall?
It's connected.
Is it a tall, rectangular heater?
Yes.
Okay. Those are still made. Where does she live?
She lives in Wicker Park.
Okay. Two places that she can contact.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
There's a website, iwantsmart.com.
Okay.
Okay, and that's a collection of a bunch of different HVAC contractors that she can call, you know, reach out to. And then American Weather Makers.
Okay.
And she can contact them. The phone number there is 855 955 HVAC.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you calling and being our last caller. And thank you all for listening today. And it is the Steve and Judy extravaganza today. Hello, man and woman.
I don't think I'd want to see Susan's underboob.
Wait, I thought you liked the side boob.
I do.
Well, we should save this for radio. Yeah.
Okay.
You're on the radio.
And did you bring in another topic?
Yeah. Do you think it's sexist
I don't think he knows he's on the air.
To sound shrill?
I think we should take this down because they're going to get themselves in a lot of trouble. How do you take them down? They're talking all this, the kind of stuff that you and I talk about on the radio that people never hear.
Hello? I'm sorry.
Steve?
Yes.
You're going to get a lot of emails.
What were we just saying?
For what you were just saying.
Four-letter word.
It was just previews. Who turned me on the air without
telling
me? I have
no idea. It wasn't me. I was
Judy, we were talking about the SAG Awards, and they were listening, apparently.
Right.
Well, that's a preview of coming attractions or non-attractions. I don't know. We'll talk about them.
Yeah. Steve, here's a little bit of it. Hi, Judy, by the way.
This is no way to start.
Hi, Lou, by the way.
This is my recommendation to you. The next time you're asked to fill in for Kathy while Judy's in Arizona, say you'll do it if you go to Arizona.
Well, you know what's weird is Kathy's in the picture with Judy. I'm watching her on Skype.
Kathy is packing up to go away.
Got it.
So she was there for a week's vacation.
Right. I see. Oh, so she's in Arizona leaving.
Right.
But not with you, Judy.
No, because I live here.
Who's on first?
Clearly not me, because you've been hearing me talk.
Okay, what's coming up on the show today?
We're going to talk about step families and how long it takes to really be a step family that really gels. Or maybe never gels. Mm-hmm. And there was an article in maybe the Wall Street Journal it was that it can take as long as 10 years.
Wow.
And I have a step family.
Right.
So I can
address So you just gelled maybe what, a couple weeks ago?
Depends on the week.
Depends on the person.
Right. Okay, Lou, a quick Lou question.
Sure.
I'm putting in some backsplash. And I'm doing subtiles.
Subway tiles?
Subway tiles. And Kathy says, because she's been general contracting for the 2 days she's been here.
Can't wait for her to leave, huh?
Right. No, she was a huge help. You should have seen us up on... Never mind.
All right.
But anyway, the drywall was sort of ripped out when they took the other out. So I need to re-drywall first, right?
Before you put your subway tile on?
Uh-huh.
And this is a backsplash.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be a flat, sound surface. Now,
will the tiler do that?
They should. In other words, when you said the drywall was damaged or removed, in other words, are there...
Damaged.
Damaged. Okay.
Really, seriously damaged.
Okay, well, if the drywall is still there...
It's not.
Oh, well then...
You couldn't attach anything to it. It's not smooth. It's like torn like paper.
So the short answer is they may do it, or they may say, hey, lady, you got to get that friend of yours that was being the general contractor to put some new drywall in. So you may want to stop Kathy before she leaves so she can put the little piece of drywall, a painting contractor.
One more day, I could have gotten her to do it.
I was going to say, are you telling me she didn't offer to do that? That shocks me.
No, she didn't. It was sort of bitchy of her, really.
What kind of a house guest is that?
But yes, you need a flat sound surface before, okay. And I love the look of subway tile. I think it never goes out of style.
Okay. Kind of like you, Lou.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Have a great show, you two.
You too. I mean, have a great day.
You too.
Okay. All right, see you, Lou Manfredini.